Welcome to Miracle Night. We're here on TikTok. Your host, Apostle Jason Leppard. Hello, guys. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in today here on Miracle Night. Thank you from TikTok. We don't have nobody join us right now, so but maybe they'll come in here in a minute. But anyways, if you're listening by podcast or radio, just make sure. I'm going to go ahead and get the announcements out of the way, guys. That way we can go on and carry this message. But we'll be right back. I'm going to go ahead and get these announcements out. We're going to go ahead and get these announcements out. Be right back. You're listening to the Kingdom Radio Podcast. If you would like to give, you can do so at www.thekingdomradio.com/give now. Thank you, and God bless you for listening to the Kingdom Radio Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Kingdom Radio Podcast. You can also visit Touch of the South Pearls and Treasures. That is Touch of the South Pearls and Treasures. You can find them on facebook.com/Touch of the South, or you can go to their website at www.touchofthesouthpearlsandtreasures.com. They carry clothing, the cosmetics, oysters opening, game, prizes, designer purses, boutique items, fellowship and fun, and jewelry. They carry all sort of stuff. The owners are Mel and Granny. Go visit them now on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Touch of the South. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, also, we are hiring. I am looking for laborers. I need a text person. I want you to call me up. I think my wife's fixing to do it, but I'm trying to get it all together. But we are looking for more people that want to send out texts to invite to a Miracle Night, and we'll have an outline form and to minister to people. We are looking for help, so we now are hiring. Okay, we need people to send out emails. We also need people to call people on the phone, but you got to get with me before you do that and be trained. We don't just allow anybody to talk to people on the phone. Okay, you gotta be trained to do these things, guys. We need help. Okay, we are hiring. Okay, alrighty. If you want to help, you just email me at kingdomsradio@gmail.com. Email me, said, Jason, I heard your podcast. I heard you on the radio. I heard that you need help. I'm wanting to help, and we'll get you plugged in, okay? All right. Thought I'd throw that out for you. That way you say, you know, Lord, use me. Well, God's trying to use you. You just got to plug in. Okay, all right, we're going to be on fear tonight, overcoming fear, how to overcome the spirit of fear. And I know fear is a big factor to people. I know it's a big factor that we got to realize that people fight with this thing, and that's why they don't get nowhere in life, because they fight this spirit called fear. And that's what I want to touch on tonight, is the spirit of fear. There's two different kind of fears. The Bible says, for the fear of the Lord, in Proverbs 1:7 says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a fear of respect. There's a difference. There's two kind of fears. There's the fear of respect, but there's also the fear of torment. The fear of torment keeps you in bondage. The fear of torment keeps you isolated. The fear of torment keeps you away from ministries because you're scared you're going to get hurt. Oh, my God. Here we go. Have we dealt with hurt people in the ministry? Oh, yeah. They so scared they're going to get hurt, so they back up and tell everybody, well, I run my own ministry. You don't run your own ministry. You're just scared of getting hurt. You're living in fear. I said you're living in fear. You can't stay faithful to anything because you're so afraid somebody's going to hurt you again. My God. Anyways, I got to obey God while you disobey God and while you sit on the sidelines and while I get blessed and while you remain cursed. So, there we go. Here we go. We're going to go forward tonight with the spirit called fear. We're going to start with the scripture, and I'm going to base it from the scripture because there's two kind of fears. There's the fear of respect and the fear of torment. Satan likes to throw fear at us because he likes us to live in bondage. He don't like us to walk out on faith because fear keeps us captive. That's why Jesus took the disciples and the apostles off and he led them to the storm. The only way to get you out of fear is to put you right in the middle of a storm. As I told my wife today, the only way to get rid of fear is just do it. Whatever you're fearing, just do it. Because if you don't never do it, the spirit of fear will remain in your life and you will remain in torment of fear because you never stepped out and just did it. By the way, I bought a truck and it was going to cost me quite a bit of money and the payments was going to be too high. But if I didn't step out and did it, I would have still lived in fear. And I'd probably be still driving a little car that's probably broke down 3 times a week. Really? I lived in fear of having payments. I lived in fear of, there's different kinds of fear of torment, guys, that Satan tries to keep us in. Because he don't want us to walk in the abundant life like Jesus said in John 10:10. I've came that you may have life and have it more abundant. You understand that there's no fear in God. When you're in God and in his presence, there's no fear. Because I'm fixing to show you something that's going to blow your mind. I was riding down the road this morning and it hit me and God's presence fell in that truck so hard I couldn't stop crying. I was in the presence of Jehovah. And he spoke to me and he said these words. He said, son, in my presence, there's no fear. None. You're not scared of nothing. You're not even scared of death. You're not. If you are in God and God is in you, then there's nothing to fear. I used to fear women leaving me because everybody's left me. Everybody's left me. Everybody's left me. We got to understand something. When everybody leaves you, what do you fear? I don't have that very many people in my ministry, but you think I care? Because I don't fear popularity either. Why do I got to be popular? I'm popular in heaven. I don't need to be popular down here. The Bible said whoever comes last shall be first. Come on. Why am I worrying about my reputation down here on earth when my reputation in heaven is getting popular? Why? Because he said, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. What is Jesus telling us? He's telling us, listen, spread the gospel down here. You might not be liked. You might not be followed too much, but up in heaven, you are getting popular. I bet you my name in heaven is more popular than a lot of yous down here. Why? Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed to tell them I have a relationship with God. I'm not ashamed to tell people, listen, I have a relationship, and God showed me this and God showed me that. Whether they make fun of me when they leave my presence or not, I don't really give a rip. Because I don't walk in fear of man's opinions either. There you go. That's another kind of fear you need to overcome. Man's opinions. Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got them. And if you don't like mine, then chatty on. I don't care. Well, you're supposed to be a preacher. You should not talk like that. Who are you to judge me? Listen, I'm telling you, I have a relationship with God, and God comes visit me himself, and you know what? You don't have a right to judge me. You can't, matter of fact, you can't judge me because you are not where I am with God, and you cannot judge me anyways. So why am I worried about your opinion? I know I was talking I'm not going to say any names, but a guy on the phone. He said, you're supposed to be an apostle. I said, brother, you think I really care about your opinion? Because I've never lived up to your opinion. I never will live up to your match. I never will live up to your criteria because you'll always want me to do more and more and more. So why am I worried about your opinion? Well, you're supposed to be a man of God. You're supposed to live upright. You're supposed to be. Listen, I'm here to please God, not you. If God be for me, then who can be against me? You know what that means? That means I don't care about your opinion. That's one fear God set me away from. I don't care what people thinks about me. I live in a free life of thinking, you know what, God, as long as you're pleased with me, that's all I care. As long as I get your approval, God, I don't care about man's approval. I could care less. God's blessing me. He ain't blessing you. God keeps blessing me, but he ain't blessing you. Because you're trying to dictate, watch this, you're trying to dictate things and live in fear. Matthew 10:28 says, fear not them which can kill the body. This is what he talks about fear in the New Testament in Matthew. But not able to kill your soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy soul and body into hell. There's only one person I'm going to fear, and that's God. One person. I don't fear nobody. I don't fear nobody. I don't fear nobody's opinions about me. I don't fear nobody's, listen, you can talk about my ministry all you want. Well, his ministry ain't going nowhere. My ministry is very popular. It ain't popular in your eyes, but his eyes it is. Listen, do you think Jesus had a stadium when he started? He had three wise men, baby. He had a cloud. He didn't have a crowd. Just because you got a crowd don't mean you got the favor of God on your life. You got to understand the Son of God himself was born in a manger, and he only had three wise men seeking him. In this season, God's going to pull people out of hats. God's going to pull people out of hats this season. He's going to pull people out of the background. He's going to pull people out of the background, and he's going to pull them out of nowhere. My God. Watch this, guys. Watch this. In 2 Timothy 1:6-7, wherefore I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by putting on of the hands, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Okay? Watch this. But of power and of love and a sound mind. Now let's go over that one more time. But God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power. What is power to God? Power is something you can overcome by God's help. He's given you power to overcome this spirit called fear. And he's gave you love and a sound mind. Now, who is love? I'm glad you asked. What is love? Who is love? Love is a person. Who's the person of love? God, the Bible said God is love. And you know how you're going to overcome the spirit of fear? You're going to have to get a relationship with God. It didn't say Jesus was love. No, sir, no, sir. The Bible declares that God is love. Jesus is a door to the Father. You got to understand something. I'm gonna ring y'all's bell tonight. Jesus is a door to the Father. Some of you are at the door and you never went in the room. You never pursued a relationship with Abba Father. You never pursued a relationship with Abba Father. You're stuck at the door and you're scared to go in the room. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the only way to the Father. But you cannot stop at Jesus like a lot of you punks do. You stop right at Jesus, and that's all you talk about is Jesus is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad Jesus died for our sins. I'm glad he stood in the gap and made us right and gave us access back to the Father. But let me tell you something. God wants a relationship with you tonight. Oh, Jesus this, Jesus that. We never talk about Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. God wants a relationship back with his children, and he wants the garden restored. Let me tell you how to overcome fear. Get God in your life. Let me tell you something. I used to go down the road when I was a kid. And I used to pick on this fella all the time. I'd do stuff just to make him so mad. And you know where I'd run to? I'd run to my daddy. I'd go up there around my daddy. I said, by George, he ain't going to touch me when I'm around my daddy. I did. I'd go down there and piss his chickens off. I would go down there and literally aggravate his chickens. He would run after me. And I was scared to death for this man, but I wasn't afraid when I was around my daddy. I was 6 years old. I remember this. And I'd go up there around my daddy, and I said, come up here and get me now, punk. My daddy said, what are you doing, boy? I said, I'm running from that guy, and I know when I get around you, daddy, you ain't gonna let him do nothing to me. See, when you're around the Father, ain't nothing going to hurt you. See, when you're around the Father, ain't nothing going to hurt you. They ain't no demon. They ain't no principality. They ain't no nothing going to hurt you. Why? Because daddy is in the picture. Daddy is on the scene. And when daddy's on the scene, there's protection all around you. See, in John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. Who is love? Who is love? God, for God is love. Love is a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. Love is a person. And the Bible said God is love. God so loved the world that he gave. It said there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. When God is in your presence, every fear that you had is gone. You don't have no fear of people. You don't have no fear of opinions. You don't have no fear of nothing. Losing things in your life, you don't have no fear of nothing. When God fell in that truck this morning, I had no fear. It was all gone. And God told me, he said, son, you got too much fear. I'm trying to get you to walk fearless. I'm trying to get you to walk fearless. When you walk fearless, you ain't going to be afraid people leaving your life. You ain't going to be afraid of your bills getting due and not paid. You're not going to live in this fear no more. That's why he got me that motorcycle out there. He's trying to get me to conquer fear. My God. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, but because of fear has no torment. Because fear has torment, guys. No more fear, Christy. That's right, sister. You walk around and say, my bills are paid. I ain't losing nothing, praise God. I'm not losing a thing because I do not walk by the spirit of fear, but faith. But God has given us, not given us, the spirit of fear. That's why I don't, this COVID mess, it ain't nothing but a tactic from the enemy. That's all it is. Wanting you to walk around in fear. Let me tell you something. I don't fear death. You know why? Because death has lost its victory. Matter of fact, God told me today, you live till 65. He said, I'm extending your life to 95. That's what he told me today. I heard him louder and clear. I had a dream when I was down in Bremen, Biden, Georgia. I had a dream, and you can ask my wife. I told her, I said, an angel come in my dream and told me I had till 65. He told me today, he said, son, I'm extending your life. Well, can God extend somebody's life? He did the prophet. He did the prophet because he was obedient. He extended his life 15 more years. I said, Lord, why are you extending my life? He said, now that you don't walk in fear, watch this. Now that you walk in faith, I can operate in you. And when I come near your body, it'll be renewed. You got to understand, Moses' body was renewed. You got to understand something. Enoch, God took Enoch up. He didn't bury Enoch. Enoch just carried up with God. Enoch walked with God, and God took him up. Elijah fell up through the chariot, and God took him up. On the Mount of Figuration, guess who they saw? Elijah, they saw Enoch, and they saw Moses. My God. Oh, they ain't no flesh can get in heaven. I beg your pardon. I guess three of them's up there, and you know what? There's three in heaven right now. Where's Jesus' body? It sure ain't on the earth.
Right here, what he's saying, it says, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, and the Lord to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us.
Wow.
Said he would preserve us alive as it is at this day.
Wow.
That's Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25.
Wow. Wow. So he will preserve your life because of fear. Guys, God don't want us walking in fear. You got to understand something. When we walk in fear, it's torment. It gets us depressed. It gets anxiety going. It gets your blood flowing when you're worrying about your bills. God does not want you to worry. That's right. Deuteronomy 6, 24, 26. That's right, sister.
Things good, but those two.
Yes. Deuteronomy 6 and 24, 26. Wow. But 1 John 4:18 says, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. But because fear has no torment, because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. You don't have a perfect relationship with God. That's what he's saying. You do not have a perfect relationship with God. He that feareth has not been made perfect in love. See, God is trying to make you perfect, but you got to stop fearing. You got to get this. God does not want us to fear. The first thing he did with the disciples, watch this, he took the disciples out in the middle of a storm. What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to get the fear out of them. He was trying to get them to face fear right in the face and say, listen, you got to understand something. The storm is brewing, but you got to understand something. I operate the storm. I walk on storms. Praise God. I walk on water. You got to understand something. God wants you to have that kind of boldness to say, listen, fella, you might fire me from this job, but my Father owns your business. My Father owns it all in 1,000 cattle, and God will provide. I don't fear my job. No, I don't. I don't fear what they can do to me. I don't walk around like a little puppy dog when they tell me to do something I know that I ain't supposed to be doing because they think, well, if I fire him, he ain't got no money. Let me tell you something. I don't work for you, buddy. I don't work for you. I work for God, and what God says goes. When you do me wrong, God will do me right. When you let me go, God will bless me. There was a fellow right up here I worked for. His name's Daniel Schuler, and I don't care to say it either. He did me wrong. Him and his wife did me wrong, and I'll say it too. And you know what? God turned me around and blessed me right in front of them. And you know what? They paid me $600 a week. Guess what I'm making now, baby? $1,000 right in front of their face. You think I care? You think I fear them? No, I don't. I'm not telling you go to work and be disobedient to your boss. That's not what I'm saying, because that's totally against the scripture. He said, obey your masters according to the flesh. But when your master starts threatening you and doing you wrong, you don't have to bow to that, because God is going to take care of you. I tell my masters at work, listen, I do got to respect you. But when you're in the wrong, guess what? If you do me wrong, God's going to get your hind end. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Let's just go there. I'll show you something. I'm going to show you something before you get all judgmental.
While he's going there, also in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, it says, and now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That's what he requires of you, is to fear him. Not the things of the world and in the natural, but in the spirit. Just fear the Lord thy God. That's what it says, now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God.
That's right. That's right.
To walk in his ways and to serve him.
To walk in his ways and to serve him. I'm going to show y'all something. In Ephesians 6, verse 5 says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Deuteronomy 10. She said Deuteronomy 10. That's right, sister.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 10. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart. Now, that kind of fear right there is a fear of respect. Remember I told you earlier, there's a fear of torment, but there's also a fear of respect. Mm-hmm. See, God wants us to fear him, but in respect of him. See, fear, well, it talks right here with the flesh, with fear and trembling, they want you to respect them because they are your leaders. Singleness of heart in Christ, not with eye service or man pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God with heart, with good service of the Lord, not to man, but knowing whosoever good thing a man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now look, he don't stop there. He don't stop there. Ephesians 6, sister. Yeah, I'm in Ephesians 6. He don't stop there, guys. And the same shall receive the Lord. Ye masters. Uh-oh, he's talking to the man. He's talking to people over you. Do the same things unto them. Forbearing, threatening. What is he saying? God is calling us to respect one another. And when bosses don't respect you, here we go. then they're going to get the same in return. You got to understand something. God didn't make you a boss to run over people and stomp over people just because you think you're a boss and you think your head's about this big. God didn't want me to be over you, Sister Christy, or anybody under this ministry and treat you like dog mess and expect you to bow at me. It's not going to happen. Watch this. Your masters, you masters, do the same thing unto them. So he's asking them to fear them and respect. It's all about a respect game. For threatening, knowing that your master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So God don't care about that boss, and he don't care about you either. What he cares about is y'all two need to respect one another. You need to respect he's your boss. You need to respect that he's your employee, and you need to listen to one another and find out, listen, I'm trying to respect you. Same vice versa with a marriage. See, if I don't respect her, she don't respect me. It's gonna come back either way. But we do this in the fear of the Lord.
Here's something else, y'all. It's Deuteronomy 11 and 23. Deuteronomy 11 and 23:24. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations mightier than yourselves. Verse 24. Listen right here. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, and the river even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall be no man able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon the land that you shall tread on, as he said unto you.
Wow.
That's powerful. That's Deuteronomy.
Wow.
Chapter 11, 23, wow. 24, 25. Well, the whole chapter, but Deuteronomy 11, 23, 24, and 25.
Wow.
There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread on, as he saith unto you.
Wow.
You got to read the whole thing, but that right there just...
Wow.
Wow.
So otherwise, God picks you, and when people do you wrong,
yep,
so to speak, when people do you wrong, they're going to have to answer to you, and God's going to make them answer to you. I like what my mentor said this morning. He said, Jason, sometimes I wanted to put water on people. Moses did it. Moses turned around and the Israelite soldiers and stuff was after them. We remember the Red Sea fell on top of them. Because God was using Moses to set the children of Israel free. Let me tell you something. God is fixing to use your enemies. And God's fixing to drown your enemies. He's fixing to drown your enemies. But we got to understand something, this spirit called fear that we face that keeps us separate from God.
It is a liar.
Guys, this spirit called fear keeps us separated from God's presence. God didn't call us, and I just read it to you. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has no torment. And he says in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. God didn't give you that fear, so that fear cannot stay. And long as it stays, God's not staying. There's a fear of respect, but there's also a fear of torment. When you're going around the house, oh, how am I going to pay these bills? Glory to God. Oh, God, I'm going to be broke tomorrow. Quit that. Quit talking like that, because you're feeding that demon that's in your home, and that demon's getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and God is getting more distant and more distant. He told me this morning, he said, Jason, if you want my presence in your life, you got to live fearless. You can't fear things. Nothing. You can't fear for your life. You can't fear for your money. You cannot fear people leaving you. And that was one of my fears that the devil had on me. Everybody's going to leave me because they've always left me. We got to realize something. And don't be, listen, a lot of you live in fear and you let people intimidate you. That's fear. That's fear of them. You don't need to fear man. I've had people give to this ministry and make me walk on my tippy toes because they give to the ministry. Keep your money. Sit on your money, because I don't need it, neither does God. I'm not fearing what you think about this ministry. You give to this ministry, you give to God. You don't give to me. Don't expect me to pat you on the back just because you give to this ministry. Come on, guys. I'm not going to pat you on the back because you give to this ministry. No, I'm going to tell you good job, but I'm not going to pat you on the back. Why? Because listen, this is God's ministry. It's not mine. I give to it too, but God don't pat me on the back. Good job, son. No, he says, yeah, you're faithful. You're obedient. I will encourage you. I actually had a fellow the other day said he sold to this ministry and he's going through bad things because he sold to this ministry.
Said after I sold that, now all this happened in a grudgeful
way. I'm like, look, dude, next time keep your money, okay? We don't need it, neither does God. Because you just robbed yourself when you said that. God loves a what? Cheerful giver, not a grudgeful giver. If you want to give to this ministry, give to this ministry. If you don't, keep your money. I don't really care, because God's going to do what he's going to do with you or without you. Hello, hello. How you think we got this mic? Hello. How you think we got all this stuff? Hello. Do he need your help? No. He ain't going to need your help in the future either. I'm just trying to get you on the blessing line. But if you don't want on the blessing line, I'll take yours and yours and yours and yours. I'll take yours too. But don't call me later when you broke, busted, and disgusted, and while I'm riding down on my Harley, yes, I'm going to brag. I'm going to brag on my God, because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above I can ask or think. So you want to tap into it, or you want to tap out of it? Yay! I don't fear that either. I don't fear people. I don't fear opinions. I don't fear nothing. God has built me this way. He's built me. Listen, I preach to 2 people better than I can 40,000 people. I'll preach. I'll continue to preach, because the last time I made a vow to God was in jail. And he said, I'll get you out of this jail if you'll preach the gospel. And I've been doing it ever since. Well, if I had to preach to a little small crowd or I had to preach to a big crowd, I preached to them both. Believe me, I have. I used to preach to 80-something people in a church. I preached to 300-something people in Tinga, Georgia. I don't care. And I preached to 2 people. I don't care where I preach. I'm going to preach. Why? Because I made a vow to God, and I'm not letting that vow down. I have my church right here in Blue Ridge, Georgia, right in my room. Hallelujah. It's not big. I ain't got a big cathedral. I ain't got a 3-piece suit on tonight, but glory to God, I'm fearing God and I'm doing what he's telling me to do. Sister, sometimes he wants us to start our ministry in a manger. Sometimes he wants us to start it in the back door. It don't matter where you start your ministry, as long as you start the thing and start doing what God has called you to do. That's all you got to do. Phew. People think they have to have a schooling and all this stuff. I told Jason up there, I said, son, you don't have to have no calling. Just do what God is telling you to do. Let's go to Matthew 28. I'll show y'all something. Let me show you something, guys. Let me show you something. I'm going to show y'all something. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Watch this. I want to show you something. Matthew 28. We're going to go to verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And verse 19 says, go. What did he say? Stay, or maybe go read a Bible study, or maybe I should go to college first before I preach. He didn't say that. This is what he says. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always and to the end of the world. What did he say? Go ye therefore. You're never going to learn anything if you don't go. Well, should I go to Bible college? Should I read my Bible first? Should I study to show myself approved? As 2 Timothy 2:15 says, should I study? Yes, you should study. But you got to understand something. Jesus walks up to the disciples and he said, listen, come and follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. Listen, you learn as you go. How do you think I've learned so much? I've learned through my failures and through my upcomings and through my fallings. I've been a pastor of a church. Yes, I have. And buddy, have I learned a lesson from it? I've learned big lessons. I've learned to quit babying people. I've learned to quit babying people because I run the church of God. I run the real church. I run the same church that was a revelation to Peter. I run the same church that was a revelation to Peter. What was the revelation to Peter, guys? What did Jesus tell Peter? Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. He said, Peter, who do you say that I am? There you go, guys. You're missing it. You're missing it. It's not about your theology, your neology. It's not about any of that. What it's about is a relationship face to face with Christ. That's what it's about. Who do you say that I am, Peter? That was the key. When you don't know who he is, you don't know how to have a relationship with him. That's the key, guys. It ain't about going to Bible college. It's not about getting a man's approval. It's about knowing who Jesus Christ really is. What did he say? Oh, we casted out devils in your name, Lord. We did all these things in your name, but I never knew you. Depart from me. I want a relationship with him, don't you? God, I want a personal one-on-one relationship with you. I want you to come in my room about 2 o'clock in the morning and wake me up out of the midnight hour and start talking to me. That's what kind of relationship I want. I want a relationship every time I get in the shower, you're speaking to me. My God, I want it so personal, Lord, you know everything about me, the hairs on my very head. People don't have a personal relationship with Christ. Who do you say that I am, Peter? And then Jesus turned around and said, man has not, he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, man has not revealed this to you, but my Father. Wait a minute. You just missed that. It's went over your head somewhere. Listen, you understand what he just said? He said, my Father has revealed this to you. What, the Father was speaking to Peter? Oh, wait a minute. Jesus is not in the picture. Listen, the Father was here before Jesus was. He was introducing his son to people. He was. Nobody talks about God. Nobody talks about having a relationship with him. He comes to me all the time. He come to me this morning in the truck. It wasn't Jesus, it was God. I could feel his presence. And in his presence, I'm telling you, you'll just cry and cry, and you can't help yourself. Because it's so strong, his love is so strong. Guys, let me tell you something. I know you love Jesus, and that's good and all. I know we love Jesus. I thank Jesus what he done. But listen to me. Jesus did not come for you to worship him. Jesus come to make himself you right with the Father again. He gave Jesus power to forgive sins. But not to worship Jesus, but to worship the Father. I know a lot of you just, you're going to get off here after tonight. Well, he's talking about Jesus like that. No, I'm not. Why do we leave God out of the picture? That's why he gave his son, so he could receive sons and daughters. Daddy wants a relationship with you again. Beats all I ever seen. See, people don't understand this, but I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. We've been taught Jesus, Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus that. Okay, Jesus is fine, guys. He's fine. I'm not dogging Jesus, and I'm not putting him down. But we stop at Jesus and we don't go in the room. Jesus said, don't call me good. There's only one good. What was he saying? Get your eyes off of me and get your eyes on him. False doctrine we've been taught all these years. Oh, this man's talking about Jesus like he's a dog. I'm not talking about Jesus like he's a dog. Matter of fact, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have this relationship with God. And even if we do mess up, we got an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ. He is our lawyer. He is our blood covenant. So no, if you don't come through Jesus, you're not going to get to the Father. He also said that, I'm the door, I'm the way, I'm the only way. Yes, you've got to have a relationship with Jesus, but don't just stop at Jesus because Jesus wants you to have a relationship with your Father. He's all of our Father. He's all of our Daddy. Anyways, guys, that's all I have for tonight. You have anything yet?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys, we're going to go on a commercial right quick. We'll be right back. If you want to sew tonight, go ahead and sew.
You're listening to the Kingdom Radio Podcast. If you would like to give, you can do so at www.thekingdomradio.com/give now. Thank you, and God bless you for listening to the Kingdom Radio Podcast.